In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Saturday to you all. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Mitters, here at First String Sports. Blackstone and Sierra Avenues, First String Sports is the place to be. Come on down here. Get your Letterman's jacket if you haven't. Obviously, summer is about to hit us. Most schools have had graduations already. Fresno Unified still has a few more graduations next week. But yeah, come get your Letterman's jacket here at First String Sports. It's the only place you can get it. They'll customize it. They'll do anything that you want to put on there. You could put Bible verses on the back. You can actually get your academic patches put on there as well. So yeah, First String Sports, definitely the place to be on Blackstone and Sierra Avenues. So for the next 2 hours, we're going to be breaking down all the cool stuff that happened in the Central section this last week and a few things previewing for the next week. Obviously, things are winding down. We had our big CIF state track and field event last weekend, and man, what an incredible showcase that was. Central section was well represented. We're going to be getting into that throughout the show today. I also want to mention that you guys can download all the previous episodes of Central Valley Sports Report and the other shows, Jose Gonzalez Show, Off the Bench, and the Tony D Show as well. You could go to podcasts and you could download previous episodes. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Mitters, PaulMeadors, and also at 1430 ESPN. Oh, I also want to mention too that, since I started the show in August, we had Christmas and New Year's Day. We didn't have a show because they landed literally on those days. But next week will be my last show for the season. I say that for the season because we're taking a little bit of break, and I'm happy to say that we're going to be coming back in August. I'm super excited. Very, very thankful to 1430 ESPN for giving me this opportunity. We're going to keep it rolling, man. We broadcast a lot of games, a lot of football, basketball, baseball, a few softball games as well. So we're going to be coming back even stronger next year. So super excited to be a part of that. Coming up on today's show after the break, we're going to be talking with Director of Athletics at Madera Unified, Marty Bitter. Marty, in August, he's going to be the new director of CIF, of the entire state. So for the last 2 years, he has been president-elect, and then starting in August, he is going to be the man. He's going to be the man in charge of CIF Central Section Athletics. So he'll be coming on the show, talk about all the good stuff that's coming up in the future, what worked this year, what didn't work, some of the highlights. I know he was at a lot of Central Section championship games, handing out hats and trophies and whatnot. So I'm excited to talk to Marty. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, I am extremely excited to talk to Adrian Martinez. I'm excited for you guys to hear what Adrian has to say. Just that name in the Central section, I'm sure brings just a lot of memories and a lot of excitement. You guys know Adrian as the star quarterback of Clovis West, went on to Nebraska, started as a true freshman, played 4 years, record-setting career at the University of Nebraska, holds numerous records there. He's actually transferred to Kansas State. He had that COVID year, played, like I said, those 4 years in Nebraska, and is going to be playing his final season at Kansas State. So we're going to be talking to Adrian, talking about all the highs that he had at Nebraska. He played on national TV, and he tore it up. Adrian, he has his own podcast. He has his degree already. He's just a quality kid. And, I got a great relationship with Adrian. I've followed him since his freshman year at Clovis West. So, yeah, we're going to see what's up with Adrian, what his future holds. And, hey, he might even answer the question as, was he close to coming to Fresno State? I knew that was a big question that a lot of us had during that transitional time. So, Adrian at the bottom of the hour. At the top of hour number two, chatting with Gabe, as always, producing the show. Gabe Camarillo does a fantastic job. hitting the pavement, hitting the hardwood. I mean, he is everywhere. He was at the state track and field events last week. He was at softball last week as well. And he has a special announcement that I'm just going to let him explain what's going on. Again, we are very, very excited here at 1430 ESPN about all the coverage that we have coming to you guys. So yeah, Gabe's got a special announcement. At the bottom of hour number two, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. Speaking of track and field, Takaya Sensi of Clovis North. She's the state champ in the 400. She anchored the gold 4x400 relay team. She got second in the 200, headed to USC. And Coach Rich Brazil is also going to be coming in. His Clovis North girls placed second overall in the team competition. Very excited to talk to Takaya. From what I've seen in her interviews and obviously on the track, she's just a quality person. So yeah, look forward to that coming up in at the bottom of hour number two. Like I mentioned, Clovis North girls got second in the team standings at the state track and field meet. Central boys won it in a dramatic fashion. They needed points in the very last race of the whole event. They needed points to place to overcome the leader at that time, and they did it in an incredible fashion. We were talking with Gabe Camarillo about that because he was there. He took a great video of that. So yeah, congrats to the Central Boys team for winning the CIF State Track and Field Team Competition. And like I mentioned, it was a phenomenal showing for the Central Section athletes. Eight gold medals were won by Central Section athletes. That's 25% of the total golds that were handed out. Thanks to friend Andy Bogart, who, you know, longtime writer for the Fresno Bee. He did research. And 25%. Sydney Vanek won the long jump from Clovis. That's an incredible story amongst us. So I wish I could spend 10 minutes on each of these kids that won state gold at the meet because they all have incredible stories. Well, Sydney, she PR'd like for the last 2 weeks. Every event she did, she got better and better, better. And at the state meet, she had her best jump of her career and won the girls long jump. Congrats to her. Nalia Fields from Carruthers won the discus. Feli Olukani of Clovis East won the shot put. She was one of the favorites. And so, yeah, she won the state shot put from Clovis East. Congrats to her. And then Takaya, who I mentioned, Clovis North girls, 4x4, won. Central boys, 4x1. Those guys were smoking. Those were some bad dudes, man. That Central relay team was fun. And if you've ever been to the Central Section or the Central Section or the state meet, when you hear oohs and ahs from the crowd, when you hear that gasp, you know something special happened. And the crowd was gasping at that 4x1 relay team from Central, man. Those guys were booking. It was something to watch. Congrats also to Christopher Caudillo of Clovis, the 1600 winner. That dude was confident, man. He came in as the number one, and he proved it. Now, that's something I'm going to talk to Takaya about. When you're the number one, when you have the target on your back, right? When you have the number one seed and everyone's out to gun for you, what's your mentality like? What are you thinking? Do you like the pressure? Do you rise up, right? You see that a lot. The number one teams fall, right? Or an athlete doesn't perform when they are the top gun out there. Yeah. So what does it take with the mental part, especially, you know, for high school kids? These kids are 16, 17, 18 year olds competing on a big stage. And what does it take to rise above? And then Jeremiah Walker for Central won the 400, I think 47, right? Gave 47, 30 something maybe was his time. But that guy, again, another one of the top leaders who performed extremely well at the state track and field event. All right. A couple softball things. Softball, Clovis High. Central Section champions beat Central 2-0, and they were placed in the NorCal Division I. Now, they are playing today. They made it all the way to the championship game. They're playing St. Francis, who's the number one seed. They're playing at 4 o'clock. So Mike Noel coach teams, are always competitive, man. Those girls are well prepared for big situations. So they're playing at 4 o'clock. And another big one, Carruthers. Look at those girls, man. What a season for Carruthers. The girls basketball team won a Central Section title, and now they're playing for the D5 SoCal title against Napomo. Napomo, yes, they are in our Central Section. It's a home game at 4 o'clock. If you guys can make it down there to Carruthers and check that out, I know it's going to be a wild and great atmosphere at Carruthers. So go check that out if you got the chance, 4 o'clock today. And then Central Softball plays at number one Sutter in the D3 NorCal Finals. Congrats to Central. Now, Sutter beat Bullard 8-6, and Bullard was the Central Section 2 champions. And they were placed in Division III in NorCal. Does that make sense? I don't know. Maybe Marty can answer questions like that. But yeah, Central's playing Sutter today at 4 o'clock as well. Now, the baseball teams didn't fare as well as our softball teams. Central and Kennedy won first round matchups, but then fell in the second round. Now, City County baseball game, I got to give a plug to that. That is already tomorrow. Tomorrow at Chukchansey Park, Gabe Camarillo is going to be on the call. Here on 1430 ESPN. So go ahead and tune in that. Gabe, is it at 1? 5? 6:30 Central Valley baseball players, the best in the Central Section will be on display. So check that out at Chukchansey. City County football is also going to be Sunday, June 17th. Also, hopefully broadcasted by 1430. I think we're working on that. So yeah, so stay tuned for that. Anyway, coming up after the break, I'm talking with Marty Bitter, Madera Unified Director of Athletics, and also our future CIF State Commissioner / President on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. At First String Sports, make sure you guys check out First String Sports. They are awesome sponsors. They have been my day ones. They are incredible. Jerry and Phil Loon over there, the owners, do a fantastic job. I'm going to be welcoming now Marty Bitter, District Athletic Director for Madera Unified, President-elect for the CIF State, term that will start in August. Marty, I know you're out roving around, man. The grind never stops for you, does it? I think you're at Fresno State checking out some football stuff with your son. Is that what's going on right now?
Yeah, actually, I love the grind, man. It's always fun being out here watching sports. But today we're up at UC Davis at a 7v7 camp. So yeah, I get to watch my son play today.
Yeah, sounds good. So yeah, I know it. It seems like whenever we have a Saturday, you know, quote unquote off, it's never really off, is it? So, you know, I was at the Central Section office just a few days ago, picking up a few things, and I didn't see the Central Section office, you know, plotting against high school kids and making their lives miserable. I think that's a big misconception right now that's going on is that, you know, the CIF is in the kids business. You guys, and I met you for the first time at the Carruthers Girls Championship game. We had a great conversation about all the wonderful stuff that goes on up and down the state and obviously in our Central Section. But you guys are truly in it for the kids. You understand the hearts and minds of kids because you've been there before and you understand it, right?
Oh, absolutely, and it is the kids' business, and I don't know where that misconception, you know, comes from, because there's so many positive things that go on with not only the Central Section, but, you know, just our high school sports in general, and obviously you have two gifted athletes coming on your show later on today that kind of represent everything that you know, the CIF stands for, and it is the kid business, and I don't know why we get to be the bad guy sometimes. I guess the lines are blurred, and I think, you know, the other thing, Paul, is I think people don't understand the process and how CIF actually functions, so therefore it's really easy to point the finger, I think.
Yeah, I think an important thing to understand is that you guys at the CIF office, you guys – for lack of a better phrase, you guys interpret the laws and enforce the bylaws. You guys don't create them. What is something that you wish that that every parent out there would understand about the CIF Central Section offices and how you guys operate?
Well, I think there's two things. Number one, I wish that parents understood that, you know, we are in the business of education-based athletics. High school sports is education-based athletics. And it's not club, it's not AAU, it's not travel ball. And I think a lot of the lines are crossed. So I think parents get that kind of mixed up at times. And the other thing is, you know, Ryan and Matt are doing such a wonderful job. You know, I know Ron Nicetti at the state office has mentioned multiple times, you know, we focus on the negative incidences that happened. And I don't think people realize that this year in California, there were over 700,000 high school games. And, you know, one incident is too many, but really there's so many more positive things going on for kids than negative. You know, I wish parents could kind of focus on all of those things. You know, the wonderful thing, Kira Wilson, who I'm sure you're pretty familiar with, a young lady from Kingsburg High School that was just our CIF scholar athlete at the state level. I just got to spend the day with her and her family at the Capitol. And, you know, just to see the amazing things that our kids are doing, I think that's what the state office and the section office both represent. And I wish parents kind of could see through that. You know, there's lots of benefits in high school athletics.
No, absolutely. And we are definitely in agreement with that. I've been involved with high school athletics for a lot of time, and I see that. And I think, you know, the hearts and minds of student athletes, you know, we're, you know, coming out of the pandemic, especially that was just a rough time. But, you know, the hearts and minds of kids are very, very impressionable. And, you know, I think all of the accolades that the student athletes get, I mean, that resonates. I mean, I can remember when I was a kid, if I ever got a trophy or a medal or a coach ever praised me in front of somebody else, that meant a lot. That stuck with me for a long, long time. And I think what you guys do at the section level and now in the future at the state level is incredible for these student athletes. But Marty, I want to ask you, though, this too. How healthy do you think high school sports are now, especially coming out of the pandemic where, man, it's even hard to think about what a lot of these student athletes have been through the last 2 years. But how healthy is high school sports right now?
Well, I think my personal opinion is it's very healthy. Obviously, we had a lot of work to do once we came out. You know, in Madera, just like everywhere else, you know, we had to almost go back and re-recruit our kids, right? I mean, we saw a lot of kids that were playing sports that during the pandemic kind of got stuck in the rut of being inside, all these social and emotional health issues and mental health issues came about. A lot of kids didn't respond from that. But what I'm seeing now is, I mean, we have kids coming out of the woodwork. We almost had to go out and kind of re-energize kids. And I think that is starting to resonate. So I really think over the next couple of years, I think we're going to see some real positive and more kids than ever playing high school athletics. Not only that, but we're starting to see an uptick. You know, two things that are goals this year, obviously, are, you know, really teaming up with our sports officials. You know, I don't think parents, I don't think coaches, I don't think all of us, any of us, really realize how much we need them. And you know, getting them back, and they're for the first time, there's just starting to be an uptick in officials coming back and getting back involved. So that's huge. And the sportsmanship piece. If we can get those two things, I think kids will come out and want to participate, and we'll just see it boom. And it'll be healthier than it ever has been. It's just going to take another year or so.
Yeah, I see that across the board. You know, with freshman sports are so important, and you get kids out there to play freshman ball, and then, you know, maybe they'll play JV as a sophomore, and then maybe they'll be able to help out on varsity and you know, have a special experience, you know, on the varsity level as well. But I want to ask you about some of the highlights that you had this year. You mentioned the awards that you guys have given out and the Wilson girl from Kingsburg. But what are some of the highlights, some of the great stuff that you saw throughout the Central Section this year?
Well, I'll tell you, it's hard to pick out because there's so many. But, you know, I think we've had, I'll just speak not only in our section, but in Madera. You know, it's been so awesome. You know, I'll tell you, we started the year at Madera South High School winning a Division I championship, and we ended the year winning a Division I champion, Division IV championship in baseball. You know, to see those kids, I think about the great story of Carruthers, right, now playing for today, actually, for a state regional softball championship, small town kids playing multiple sports, having the time of their life. You know, these kind of things, I think, are just special. You know, I mean, this year, the other thing I would say is, you know, Title IX, 50th anniversary of Title IX, which is an emphasis for us at the state level to increase girls' participation. You know, I've had the privilege, my kids attend Clovis North. My daughter and son both are track members, and to watch a young lady like Takaya Sensei, who we won't see that very often, right? What she's accomplished at the high school level. So there's just so many things. Ryan and Matt do the Section Scholar Athlete Award Dinner, and we get to present the awards. And just to see, you know, you have to take a step back, you know, as a parent, and you realize, you know, how do these kids get all of the things that they're able to do when it comes to multiple sports? You know, they excel academically. They're involved in so many community service operations. And where do they find the time to do all of this? And obviously it starts at home. You know, you see these great kids with great parents. Those are the things that, to me, are super exciting, you know, and I've seen it all this year, and we didn't get to see it. It's so nice to have fans back, you know, and go outdoors to games or sit in gyms. And you know, those are things that I think, for lack of a better term, were kind of taken away, right? And we just kind of took them all the time for granted. And now I think there's a much more of appreciation for it, at least I have.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's hard to think about. I mean, last year in basketball, we got our section championships this year on the higher seeds, right? And so we were able to see the students celebrate with the team and run on the court and jump around. And that was really, really special. But it's hard to think because last year, basketball started super, super late. And I think it's tough for our minds to still wrap around what a lot of our student athletes have had to endure and come out of. And yeah, now I think we're definitely on the straight and narrow, and things are in place. And you know, once football hits this year or next year coming up in August, you know, I think football definitely sets the tone for the school year. But Marty, what are some changes that are going to be occurring next year? You know, maybe off the top of your head for the central section, you know of any? I know that, was it 30% win percentage to enter playoffs? Because I know we had a couple football teams that didn't win a game and were able to be in the playoffs. Is that something, or are there some other things that are going to be set in place?
Yeah,
for next year?
I think those are all good changes. I think, you know, I think we have sometimes it's hard to adapt to change, but I think a lot of the changes that we've gone through within the section are good. And I think that our board of managers, we all have a good relationship. So feedback, everybody's willing to give their feedback, and it's taken in a professional manner. But yeah, that's one of them, the 30% rule. Some districts, you know, ours included, but there are several districts that have had that in the past. But I think that will definitely help. I like the fact that we, you know, I love the competitive equity model. I know that there's still those that have a hard time with it. But I do like, I think we made a nice adjustment with the base divisions and where you can go up and down. That's a change. What I think we're seeing, in all honesty, is we're seeing more competitive games throughout the playoffs. So I think those are all positive changes. You know, again, I think the emphasis is going to be on sportsmanship. I know Ryan's doing some stuff that's kind of incentivized our schools to turn in and make sure that our site administrations understand that there's sportsmanship expectations and there's ramifications if we can't believe or if we can't obey those things. And I think that's huge. Hopefully we make a bigger push. I wish more schools would get involved in unified. You know, our section offers unified sports, and To me, that's sports at its purest form. It's one of the greatest things I get to do, is go out and watch our unified teams participate, which, you know, helps with inclusion. I think our section's also doing some really positive stuff with diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is, you know, going to be changing for a lot of us and change for the better, so that all of our kids feel valued. So I think we're doing a lot of positive stuff.
And the unified sports absolutely melts my heart. If you've not been to a unified soccer game, oh my gosh, I did a story on unified soccer in Clovis, and the wonderful people that are involved in that is just incredible. So Marty, thank you for your time. We only got time for another, for about another minute here, but have you seen Top Gun yet? I wanted to mention that in my opening. I wasn't able to, but Top Gun was one of the best movie experiences of my life. It was over 30 years since the original, but have you seen that movie yet? I'm sure you were raised on that movie, weren't you?
I was on the original, but I will tell you, I have not, but it is on my list of things to do. I will be sneaking out in the near future, that's for sure.
Yeah, you got to do that. You know, I know you're a busy guy, and yeah, the nostalgia factor is high on that movie. And if you go see it, you got to see it in the best theater possible with the sound, when those jets take off. It's pretty awesome. So yeah, Marty, really appreciate your time. It was good to finally meet you at that Carruthers game, and you know, we're excited about Central Section sports and about sports at the high school, at the state level as well. But yeah, thanks for taking the time, and appreciate you. And hopefully I'll see you soon.
You got it, Paul. Thank you so much for having me on. And more importantly, thanks for all you do for high school sports. Without you, the word doesn't get out of all the wonderful things that our kids are doing. So thank you so much for all your support and energy and time you put into high school sports.
That is much appreciated. Thank you very, very much. All right. That was Marty Bitter, Director of Athletics for Madera Unified and President-elect of the Central Section, or the state. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Adrian Martinez. Oh, excited to talk to Adrian. Clovis West, Nebraska, now at Kansas State. We're going to be hooking up with Adrian in just a second here on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Matters. Had a great conversation with Marty Bitter. It's about, you know, high school kids, just how important this time of life is for them and how important high school athletics are. So yeah, thanks to Marty for coming on. And now Adrian Martinez, you guys know Adrian well. If you guys, you know, are fans of high school sports, you know the name. You know, Adrian is a graduate of Clovis West High School, just spent 4 record-breaking years at Nebraska, already graduated with a degree in management, now is transferred to Kansas State. He's broke numerous records at Nebraska. I'm just going to mention a few here because it's a long list. Well, one is in total yards, 10,792 total yards, completions, 300-yard total offensive games. Like I said, numerous records, University of Nebraska. He's transferred to Kansas State to play his final season, and he enters the season just one of 2 quarterbacks in the nation with over 8,000 yards passing and 2,000 yards rushing in a career. So, Adrian, man, I am very, very excited to have you on this show. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I know you were in town recently. Yeah, you know, you're very true to Fresno, to your Central Valley roots. When you come back to Fresno, where are some of your go-to places, man? You got some restaurants that you go to? Are you looking forward to your home cooking at home, or do you have a favorite place to go?
Yeah, you know, I usually visit a few places. One of them's Teriyaki Don. It was sort of close to Clovis West, and I always went there for lunch. Doghouse is a classic, and my family and I usually always try and go to dinner at like Wasabi on Fire or a teppanyaki type place, you know, where they cook in front of you. So always try and make the rounds and hit the usual spots.
Yeah, that's always fun. And I know that, you know, you're very close to your family as well. But when you come back home, do you sleep in the, are you stay in the same bedroom that you grew up in? What's that look like?
Yeah, so they cleared that out maybe a couple years back. So that's a game room now. So I'm sleeping usually either on an air mattress, the couch, or maybe I'll sleep in my brother's room. So it is it's kind of ever changing. But yeah, my old room is now a game room. So
So the record breaking quarterback at Nebraska comes home, and sometimes you're regulated to sleeping on an air mattress, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, it's what you deal with sometimes when you come back home. I don't think I'm any more special than anyone else. I think my family doesn't treat me that way for sure.
Yeah, you're just playing old Adrian to your family. Not playing, but you know what I mean. You're Adrian Martinez. Yeah. But I also want to ask you, like, what did your room look like growing up? Because I know for me, I had posters of Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco, Bo Jackson, Fresno Bee articles up on my walls. Your room have like anything special up on it? Were you a poster guy or anything like that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, I'll say a few things about it. Luckily enough, my neighbor, I don't know exactly what business this is, but you know, the big billboards that are in Dick's Sporting Goods and places like that, you know, got the athletes on the cover, whatever else. So there was a little kind of infringement on the top of one of them he was making. And he asked if I wanted it when we had first moved into the house. And I was like, yeah, I'd love it. And so it had LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Kobe Bryant. And that was sort of my centerpiece in my room. This big kind of, I don't want to say billboard, but like it was just a huge, you know, bigger than normal type poster that was in my room that I thought was pretty cool. And then I also collected Sports Illustrated. So I had all the covers, not all of them, but I had a lot of my favorites up, like college football players, Marcus Mariota, you know, guys like that. And then I even had a wall with some of my favorite quarterbacks and their trading cards. So I definitely filled my walls with a lot of sports memorabilia and things like that. I'm still a huge sports fan. And growing up, obviously I was too.
Talking with Adrian Martinez, and yeah, I'm with you. I think we share some similarities with some of our heroes, but what about LeBron James versus Michael Jordan? Are you a LeBron James guy?
Yeah, I'm a LeBron James guy. He's the GOAT in my book, and I think it's just a matter of generation. You know, for me, he's the greatest basketball player ever. I mean, he could do anything in any era, whether it's score, rebound, assist, you know, plays great defense. I think all around he's the best of all time. And in my mind, he didn't have the same opportunity to impact the game in a way that Jordan did. And I feel like if he had that same opportunity, you know, when it comes to having his own sneakers, to, you know, Team USA and playing in the Olympics, kind of the first to do some certain things, I think LeBron would have been even bigger than Jordan. And that might not make a lot of people happy of a certain generation, but that's just how I feel.
Well, yeah, that's a generational thing for sure. And that's probably another conversation that you and I will have to have later. But, man, you sound like a pro. I mean, as far as your ability to dissect and have an argument, it sounds like you maybe even have a podcast or something like that. I know. How's your podcast thing going?
Yeah. You know, if anyone wants to check it out, I'll give myself a free shout out. It's called Athletes Unfiltered, and it's going well. You know, I would say it was the first, if not one of the first couple of collegiate athlete podcasts. And it's been awesome, you know, a really cool experience and really just a platform for guys to share stories that they usually wouldn't have, which I've found to be pretty fulfilling.
No, I've listened to a few of your episodes and they're great. And just it's raw. I think that's the word for it, where you're honest and you're open about what it's like to be a student athlete, a high profile student athlete. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Make sure you guys check that out. And Adrian, thinking about your time at Nebraska, and you know, I just remember Saturday mornings were so much fun for me. 9 o'clock, boom, there I am watching Adrian on TV, and I think I saw 98% of all your snaps throughout your 4-year career there at Nebraska. But you know, when you kind of reflect upon those years, I know you're all in a Kansas State, but what brings you the most joy right now playing college football, or what has brought you the most joy?
Yeah, you know. Looking back, it's funny. I was just talking with my girlfriend about this. I think it's easy to lose some perspective. And just as I was talking about all the things that were in my room, all the people I looked up to growing up, it was such an honor, you know, to play for such a big college, play in sold out stadiums, play on national television, and get to start 4 years at Nebraska. You know, I got a great opportunity, and man, I mean, just great games, great moments, great plays, you know, off the field, making friendships that'll last forever. I mean, it was a special time and one that I'll remember and cherish forever. And I got the opportunity to break some records too. So, you know, I feel very like grateful that I got to do that. And I feel like I made the most of it.
No, I agree. I think we all can agree to that. Is there a play or a certain game that stands out to you most during your career?
It's hard to say, you know, I would say like each year has been different. From this last year, I would say we're playing Buffalo. I think it was our second or third game, and we had kind of stalled out offensively, and it was only 7-0, kind of a team that we were anticipating and we're supposed to beat, you know, handily. And we're only up 7-0, like going into the second quarter, and first play, we get like negative yards on some rush attempt. And, we were sitting in like third and like longish, and I drop back to pass, kind of a free rusher. I make a miss and end up scrambling like 80 yards down to the 3 yard line. And I just little play like that. I don't know. It was just a lot of fun, and it changed the game, and it kind of broke it wide open for us. I'd say that was pretty cool. And then there were countless plays, you know, across this last season that were big moments and were a lot of fun. I mean, it's hard to pick one. You know, my freshman year, Colorado, maybe my first touchdown, that one I'll never forget. You know, I made a guy miss on the edge on a read option and kind of scampered 45 yards down for a touchdown. That feeling is hard to replace.
I'm going to go with that one. I remember that well. He made that first guy miss, and you took it down the sidelines, and I was watching it with a buddy of mine. I'm like, that's Adrian. I've seen that 1,000 times at Clovis West, and now he's doing it on national TV against Colorado. So, yeah, for me, that it's that play. That was definitely a special moment. But, Adrian, I want to ask you, too, you know, every college football player had an extra year due to COVID, and, you know, you had your record-breaking career at Nebraska, and then you transferred to Kansas State. You're going to be playing your final year at Kansas State. What went into that decision? I know it was extremely difficult for you, but why did you choose to go to Kansas State?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of different factors, right? And for me, it came down to wanting to play at the next level, and that's my ultimate goal is going to the NFL, and I wanted to go into a situation that was going to give me the best chance to do that. You know, and part of that's a new opportunity, a new team, and that's why I decided to transfer. But I was looking for somewhat of a winning situation, a great culture, great coaches, and somewhere where I felt like we could win and do great. So I got some opportunities across the country. I was able to take a couple visits, and I felt like Kansas State fit all that criteria for me. And on top of that, personally, it was a great opportunity for me as well. And, you know, I even looked at Fresno State, and that was an option for a little bit there, and unfortunately disappeared. But, you know, that's college football.
And I got to be honest, Adrian, when, you know, when Jake Haener announced that he was entering the transfer portal, and then you were announced that you had transferred, obviously that was a hot topic, and my phone was blowing up with text conversations with people. Is Adrian going to come back? Adrian might be coming back. Wait, how awesome would that be if Adrian came back? So, yeah, so thanks for answering that question. I know that little window of opportunity was there. And, you know, selfishly speaking, of course, I would have loved to have you back here at Fresno State. I think a lot of people would. But, man, we are very happy for you and for you to continue your career at Kansas State. But also, you know, you had another shoulder surgery as well, right? And so where are you at with rehab? Obviously, you weren't able to participate fully in spring practice for Kansas State. But where are you at with all of that?
Yeah, so I was actually able to practice the last three of our 15 practices. And I've come a long ways. You know, I feel like I'm close to 100% right now, which is a good feeling. You know, I'm clear to do everything in the weight room, throw as much as I want. Now it's just a matter of getting the reps and continuing to like grow in comfort and making all the throws that I need to make. I feel like I've had a great opportunity to train different places and kind of get me where I need to be for this season. So I feel comfortable where I'm at right now.
So how does the offense compare Kansas State to Nebraska? Are you guys, is Kansas State run like RPOs or run or more pass oriented? I know you guys got a stud running back, don't you?
Yeah. So it's honestly night and day. It's really not a difference. I'd say Nebraska was much more of a open spread type, and we'd use tempo a lot more and try and be more of an upbeat type of offense. And at Kansas State, last year, they're a huddle team, more of a pro-style team, and we're kind of transitioning into more of a multiple-type offense, one that we do tempos, we'll try and huddle, maybe we do up-tempo stuff here. But I'd say the basis is the run game, and part of that's because we have, you know, a two-time All-American running back who's an absolute stud. And like I was saying before, that was part of my decision process. I think there's a lot of talent on this Kansas State team, and a great new offensive coordinator in Colin Klein, if you remember him. He was a Heisman finalist quarterback at K-State. So a lot to be excited about, and it's definitely different. I'd say it's more similar to an NFL-type system than what I was in before.
Yeah, so you definitely want to take your game to the next level. How does that work, Adrian, as far as preparing for the NFL draft and getting ready? Are there scouts that you talk to? Are you getting feedback from different people about what you need to work on? What does all that look like?
Yeah, it all kind of changes. It depends. You know, don't have direct contact with scouts. Like, that's not, I don't think that's allowed. I know I definitely haven't had any of that, but there is a person who's kind of like a representative usually as a part of each program, and they have contact with the scouts and kind of you get an idea of where you're projected to go, where you think you could go as far as getting drafted and what you might need to work on going forward. And I kind of, I consider that information when I decided to transfer. You know, that was part of my process and why I decided to leave and ultimately pick Kansas State. I think it'll allow me to show a different part of my game and hopefully reach my best.
Talking with Adrian Martinez, and Adrian, I know NIL is a hot topic. I had the Fresno State NIL coordinator on my show about a month ago, and he did a phenomenal job explaining what it means, what it looks like for athletes and the communication. And you were kind of on the forefront. I saw through Twitter and social media, all your NIL deals, and you know, how has that been a game changer for you? And how do you think it's been a game changer in the college football landscape?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit like the Wild Wild West right now. There's not a lot of legislation, there's not a lot of rules, and people are still figuring it out. You know, you can see in the media with Nick Saban and Fisher from Texas A&M. You know, there's a lot of controversy around NIL, but for the athlete, I think it's been great. You know, there's a lot more opportunities that we didn't have before, a lot more freedom. Like for me, I got to start a podcast, and that's not necessarily the most profitable thing. I wasn't doing it for money, but the fact that I was able to do it and able to kind of create this platform for college athletes to speak and share stories, that was a really cool opportunity that wasn't possible before NIL.
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah, that's one way to describe it, the Wild Wild West, and there's still a lot of questions, and athletes are still a little bit in the dark about all that stuff. But Adrian, once you splashed on the scene in Nebraska, a lot of the media type folks were just very impressed of how mature you were in front of people, how well spoken you were. But you've been involved in a lot of press conferences, man. You've done a lot of interviews as well. So again, I appreciate you coming on and talking with me. But what is the silliest or most unusual question that you've ever been asked, and did it catch you by surprise, and what the heck did you do?
I got to think about that one, but before I even answer it, I want to say, Paul, you were the first one to really interview me, and so you gave me the practice I needed. So when I got to Nebraska, everyone thought I was just a natural at it, but I think I got some of the awkward things out when I was talking with you. Thankfully, you were the OG interviewer, so I hope you take some credit in that. but I don't know. There's so many press conferences, and I'd say the silliest things are like when sometimes people try and lead you into a certain answer. And it's like, you know, I, I know where this is going. You know, I'm not going to be kind of suckered into this. And I'd say that happened a couple times. There's just so many people covering Nebraska football in that state. I don't know. I wouldn't say I've been asked anything crazy. I've done some crazy things, you know, like at different events. Like there was like a Husker fan day, and you know, there a ton of people come to the stadium and get autographs, things like that. And I signed everything from a prosthetic leg to a mannequin to a, you know, a person's baby, like just ridiculous stuff. It like doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, but people wanted to do it, so.
All right, so a mannequin, prosthetic leg, and then a baby, right? Those are the craziest things that you've had to sign?
Yeah. I'll trade that story for silly questions, yeah.
I'll take that all day. That's awesome. Thanks, Adrian. Ned, thanks for the props. I remember interviewing you as a sophomore, and I was just blown away. I'm like, this kid's a sophomore. First of all, you're a phenomenal athlete, and then you know, I've seen you throw the football around after a football game, after a tough loss with a kid, right? A kid will come up to you and toss you football, and you're throwing him the ball. And, you know those types of things stick with kids. And so, yeah, Adrian, I really, really appreciate you over the years and our connection. So, yeah, mad props to you, man. You definitely have a big career ahead of you, whether it's in the NFL, whether it's in business or in the media. You definitely have a big career. But I want to leave with this. I know you're a very loyal person. You loved your time at Clovis West, but what are some of your best memories when you think about your high school days?
That's tough. You know, I would say it's hard to beat Friday Night Lights. You know, I've had a great experience playing college football, but there's something about growing up with a group of guys, you play in middle school, you kind of fall in love with the game at the same time, you grind together, figure out what it means. And I was lucky enough to be around guys who, you know, shared the same vision as I did, you know, like now my buddies, as you know, like DJ and Dusty Schramm, one's a linebacker at Boise State, one's a pitcher at Utah. My buddy Cole Seamus, he's in the minor league system with the White Sox, Rodney Wright, Fresno State football player. You know, like all of us went on to go to continue aspiring to reach our dreams. And, you know, growing up and just all being in the same area, you don't really value it the way you should. And, you know, it was the little moments in the locker room or, oh, it's 110 degrees out in Fresno and we're out here freaking doing fall camp practice, you know, or we're messing around playing in a dodgeball tournament. We decided to go fishing. It's little things like that you do with your group of friends, that you do with your team, that you don't forget. We went on a camping trip. I think it was my junior year, and paintball and little games with Coach Petrasans, old Clovis West head coach. You know, stuff like that. You can't top, and you'll never forget. So it's really all the memories that come along. It's cliche, but it's always the journey, right? And I'll never forget the journey I had with that group of guys.
Absolutely. You summed that up so well, Adrian. I appreciate you as always. Good luck in the future. Kansas State, man, check him out. Adrian Martinez, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, Adrian. Coming up after the break, talking with Gabe Camarillo on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two, Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, on 1430 ESPN. I want to thank First String Sports for being the sponsor of the show. Go check out First String Sports on Blackstone and Sierra Avenues. They're definitely a place to be. Love having my show here in the Letterman's Jacket Room. This is just it's an incredible atmosphere, and I love it here. So, yeah, thanks to First String Sports. We just had that great conversation with Adrian Martinez. I hope you guys were able to listen to the whole thing. We only had about 23 minutes to talk to Adrian. There are a lot more things that I wanted to get into. You can go back and listen to the episode. If you missed a little bit of it, could go back to the, or go to the 1430 ESPN website, go to podcast, Central Valley Sports Report, and click on today's episode. It'll be downloaded really, really quick after the show ends. So go back and listen to that. Adrian obviously is a phenomenal athlete, but even a better person. You saw how well-spoken he was. And, you know, again, watching him throughout his career at Nebraska, he went through some ups and downs, and we didn't get into that too much. But, you know, after his freshman year, he was, I believe, the third leading Heisman, had the third leading odds to win the Heisman the following year, and had some injuries, man. That shoulder injury that he suffered where he missed his entire senior year at Clovis West, you know, it came back to bite him a little bit, and he had surgery again, and he's rehabbing that. But anyway, Adrian, he had a phenomenal career. Obviously, when you're the face of a program, you're gonna hear some scrutiny now and then, and he went through a lot. But yeah, I mean, what a quality guy he was. So we'll definitely be following this year at Kansas State. Now's the time we're chatting with Gabe Camarillo, here at 1430 ESPN, does a phenomenal job. But Gabe, what's going on, man? So happy to see you.
Yeah, same here. I know we've had a couple of funny weeks here at ESPN Radio. I know that for sure. But as long as we keep that behind the curtain and away from the public's eye, it sounds like we're just normal talking here.
We are normal talking.
Sports.
Yeah, absolutely. But I want to give you a little platform right now, Gabe, because you made this announcement on the social medias last week. Dun, da, da, dun, dun, dun.
Well done. Well done. Yes, I am having my own show starting on Monday, 3 to 5, Monday through Thursday. I announced it on Twitter earlier this week, and I've been trying to kind of, you know, keep people updated. You know, you got to promote yourself. You got to show the logo. You got to announce the time. You got to create a promo. I'm learning all this stuff on the fly, but I'm really excited on Monday to have my first batch of guests. Maybe if Carter softball wins today, I'll have on the head coach. I know Brad Fonts is confirmed for Monday in studio, so looking forward to talk to Fonts about a whole bunch of things, because all of a sudden the all track teams is a huge controversy. I mean, everyone has a problem with all track teams and how they're voted on, and I think that might be something I talk to Fonts about, just so that way people understand how all track is voted on, because people want to be voting in on stats, and I agree, but when stats aren't always made public, then it's kind of tough to vote on all-star lists. But again, that's something you can listen to on Monday on Home Field Advantage.
Oh, there you go. The title would be good to say, Gabe.
Yeah,
Home Field
yeah.
Advantage. I like it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, maybe we can talk about that a little bit, just all-star lists and baseball and softball. And, you know, this can be kind of controversial.
So Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. Is that the right time, 3 to 5?
Yes, 3 to 5.
All right, 3 to 5. Yeah, check that out. Gabe, very, very proud of you. You recently graduated from college, and now you got your own show, man. So you are definitely a fast riser, and I appreciate you as always. So let's talk about softball. You mentioned Clovis softball, how they're playing today to win the D1 NorCal section finals, right? Lauren Carranco is hot as a pitcher. She is on fire, right? She had four straight shutouts. She gave up two runs in the second round. But, man, that pitcher is absolutely dominating right now.
She really is. And you're going to have Clovis face a really good St. Francis of Mountain View team. They have 30 wins on the season. They're ranked number one in the state by Cal High Sports. And the way that St. Francis so far has played, they've had two really good pitchers. They can throw either one of them today at Clovis. And they have a slugger that I think Herd had. Mike Noel said in an interview last night, she had over 20 home runs. So they got power, they got pitching. They really are, you know, your mold for the number one team in the state. But hey, Clovis faced a team earlier this year that was number one in the state as well. I'm talking, of course, about Clovis North. So Clovis has faced already, you know, the cream of the crop in the state. So if they use those experiences, now it's not exactly the same scouting report, but you faced the best before. So Clovis and head coach Mike Noel knows what it takes to beat a really good, talented, deep team. If he applies that lesson that from Clovis North, I think he might shock a couple people in Northern California today.
Yeah, Clovis softball is obviously always well prepared with Coach Noel. And somebody tweeted out, I think it was from a NorCal high school sports reporter, just how uniform Clovis look, right? They're all stretching in a line, like probably equidistant apart. Just how structured those girls are. Coach Noel does a fantastic job. So yeah, so good luck to Clovis. And Carruthers again is playing Division 5 against Napomo at 4:00. That's gonna be a home game. So you guys take that drive to Carruthers, just go down 41, hang a I guess it'd be a right, depending on which side you come from, but at the airplane mini mart right there, that's always a sign that you're headed into Carruthers, so check that out. And then Central is also playing. Oh, they're on the road, right, Gabe? They're playing at number one, Sutter?
Yeah, Central's on the road, and Carruthers, just want to say real quick, they are red hot. You cannot cool them down with an ice bucket. They have not lost in a month. 9 straight wins. I mean, looking at the scores in their playoff run.
It's going like 15 a game, aren't they?
Exactly. 18-4 over Fresno High. 11-8 over Mount Whitney, and then 11-2, 14-4, 14-0, 18-6. These are football scores, Paul. They're playing football on the softball diamond.
Give or miss an extra point here or there. But, yeah, the Carruthers is definitely hot in softball. Now, with baseball, you and I had this discussion off air. We put a lot of emphasis on our Central Section, championship games, right? Yeah, and obviously it's a special moment and seeing these kids celebrate. And to me, that's the apex. I think that's most important still up and down the state. And I think what happens, a lot of these coaches are like, oh yeah, we keep playing baseball. Like the season's not over. The teams that win, we continue in baseball playoffs. I think that's catching a lot of coaches and players by surprise. Oh yeah. Yeah. We keep playing. So Gabe, do you think that, I don't know how to phrase this, like, it hasn't caught steam, let's say, state playoffs for baseball, because it's only the second year that it's been implicated. There's no true state champion like volleyball, right? We still have our NorCal and our SoCal champs. They don't meet. So I don't know. What's the sense that you get as far as state baseball players? Is it just going to take a while to mean something a little bit more?
I think so. It's like, you know, you hear all the time football players, they don't stop at saying, I want to win Valley. They say, I want to win state. And the basketball players say the same thing too. I mean, Clovis North, boys basketball, this past season had a remarkable run to the state championships and kind of, you know, opened the door for future Central Section boys teams to make it to Golden One Center. But with baseball, it's a lot different because the last game of the season used to be the Valley title game, and now you're having extended seasons going into early June, starts running into graduation. I saw it firsthand last year with Buchanan baseball. They won an emotional game against Liberty. It was already middle of June because of COVID. And then they were told, all right, you're the number one seed in SoCal, which obviously ruffled some feathers around the state for media members who probably thought that. How could the number one team in the state be from Clovis? Well, that's what they were seeded, and they had to face Bishop Amont. And, you know, they probably mentally were checked out because you had an emotional championship game, and all of a sudden, for the first time ever, that's not the last game of the season. Yeah, I can't blame coaches and players for being a little skeptical or, you know, a little confused, to be honest, of what this state playoffs is. They're so confused, they're calling it state playoffs when actually it's regional playoffs.
Yeah.
And there's no state championship. I think, if anything, to legitimize this regional bracket and playoff system, make there a state championship. Make there a state tournament where the final games can be played at Dodger Stadium or AT&T Park, or I say AT&T Park, Oracle Park, or not the Coliseum, but any MLB park in California. Make it happen there. Maybe you can rotate and have it mean something. Then players will start, you know, taking that into account. They'll stop. I feel like right now players and coaches probably stop taking regional playoffs seriously because their whole goal is Valley. You never hear someone say, I want to win regional.
Well, that'd be an interesting discussion from media members or coaches in NorCal and SoCal too. Gabe, yeah, kind of going back last year to the Buchanan loss. Remember SoCal, they finished their section playoffs a week earlier. They had time to rest up, right? So I think things need to align a little bit better, for our state regional playoffs. And one thing too, Gabe, it's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine. I know some people disagree with this, but if you win the regional playoffs, don't call it a state championship. If there is no true state championship event, don't call it a state championship. You won your SoCal or NoCal region.
And that's
why you have it for basketball and you have it for football. Yes, you are the state champ, but for volleyball and for baseball and now softball, nope, don't call it that.
And that's why I think players and coaches don't take it as seriously. I mean, I'm not saying they don't take it serious, but what do you take more seriously as a Central Valley baseball coach? Winning Valley or winning, not even state, winning regional? If you make it winning state, then yes, that's going to be the goal for coaches and players at the start of the season. But it's not even that. And the fact that this is only 2 years old makes me think there's a lot of room for this playoff system to grow.
Well, there's a couple other factors with that too, Gabe, before we move on and talk about state track and field, is that so a lot of these kids are ready to play travel ball. Right. Let's be honest. Travel ball is a big thing now. It's where a lot of kids get scholarship offers. They're seen in front of college coaches. So a lot of these kids are chomping at the bits. I think there is even a couple teams last year that opted out. They're like, nope, our kids can't do it. We're doing travel ball. Our kids are going here and there. We're not going to be playing in the regionals. So there's that. State track and field, Gabe. I'm excited to talk to Takaya coming up at the bottom of the hour. Just what it's like to compete at that level. Buchanan, man, it's the hub, man. It's the hub for track and field. Obviously, Coach Brian Weaver, the director of sport at Buchanan for cross country and track and field, does an amazing job throughout throughout the year getting ready for this event. It's a grand spectacle, man. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go. The Clovis and Central softball game was going that night. But yeah, what was it, your first time at the state track and field?
I went in 2019. As a fan, and I remember watching like Keenan Christian get the double 100, 200. I think, what was her name? Shelby Michelle from Buchanan won an event for Buchanan.
Yeah.
Girls, they won the girls' title. Was it the 3200? 200, okay. But I mean, Buchanan won a lot of events because they won the freaking state championship. But, you know, it was really cool to see the Central section have such a wide display of dominance. Obviously, we can start with Central boys, but You talked a lot about, you know, Christopher Cadillo and Carruthers as first state champion, Nayeli Fields and the girls discus throw, Feo Kalukani. These athletes are really special because track is such a unique sport. It's like tennis or boxing. I mean, boxing is not a high school sport, but it's one-on-one. There's no team element except for you got to put up points to get your team a team championship. It's really, you're competing against person, mano y mano. You know, in track, it's even more so. You're nine people in a track running against each other, shoulder to shoulder, trying to beat each other. And it takes every ounce of effort and dedication, both on the event and after the event or before the event, to get to what you want to be. It really is one of the most impressive sports because it takes so much training, and to see it all pay off for several athletes in the Central section, we should be extremely proud of them because this was not just what they did at the state meet. It was what they did the months and months prior to that led to what happened, which was several Central section athletes got gold medals.
Eight to be exact, 25% of the gold medals out there. It was eight of them. And I'm going to definitely talk about that with Takaya about, the mental aspect of track and field and the individuality of it as well. It's a different animal, man. I'm used to team sports. I'm used to, relying on your teammates. But when it's just you and all eyes are on you, it's a different animal out there. Yeah, and you think about the state track and field, and like what comes to mind is Jenna Prandini, and obviously she's, you know, two-time Olympian, and you know, she's Clovis's favorite daughter, man. She's an amazing person. How she really made a name for herself at the CIF CIF state meet. And you think of the Fosters, Risa Foster and Caleb Foster. How Caleb tore it up in the long jump. He jumped 26.
I wish Caleb had a senior year to show it in the 2020.
That was so sad that the last two state meets were canceled. But excited to talk about Takaya about all that. Got a little bit of basketball news, Gabe. I saw you tweeted out something interesting. San Joaquin Memorial obviously has had a storied history with the Lopez twins and Quincy Pondexter, and you know, with obviously JoJo Hunter is going to Fresno State, and they have a rich history. So you got a little bit of news out there, don't you?
Yeah, it's some news where you're like,
and Jalen Green. Sorry, and I got to mention Jalen Green.
It's some news where you're like, I kind of expected that, and maybe you did, maybe you didn't, maybe you didn't pay attention enough to Kalinga boys basketball. But Julius Onuruwaju, all-state freshman, he averaged over 30 points a game for the Horned Toads. He's coming to San Joaquin Memorial. He's transferring in. And, you know, I tweeted it out. You're right. And some of the replies were like, ah, sucks for Kalinga. Looks like the kid wanted to face stiffer competition. SJM is the original NIL deal. It's like you got a whole bunch of haters and people who are like, you know what? The kid wants to play better competition. And I think I fall more on the second side of things. Maybe it's because I'm from Fresno and I don't get the whole, you know, small town or we're getting pillaged by big schools. But the fact that this kid wants to face the Clovis West, the Clovis Norths, the Bullards, I respect that. Because he could easily spend the next 3 years in Kalinga and play against the league competition and put up more all-state seasons. But he wants to challenge himself. He wants to get recruited. He saw what JoJo Hunter did last year, and that was really grab the attention of the Central Valley because he was so darn good. He saw what JoJo Hunter did, and he wants to have that for himself because when you play at San Joaquin Memorial, whether you like it or not, all eyes are on you.
No, yeah, I agree, right? So the kid is, he's age appropriate, first of all, right? That's important to me. So he is a freshman through and through. And if you're averaging 30 points a game at that level, you're gonna need tougher competition. I'm gonna agree. So what, next year he averages 35 at Kalinga, the year after 40, which is cool, which is awesome. And again, I'm a champion of small schools. I'm a champion of medium schools as well. I went to one. I teach in a community that's surrounded by, you know, the Selmas and Kingsburg and Dinuba. So I get it. However, the kid's got a future. I mean, I've seen clips from everybody I've talked to. He's a D1 guy, right? And so to get your game to the next level, you know, you're going to want to play against the best of the best, and San Joaquin Memorial gives them that opportunity.
That's not to say, though, kids who stay at small schools are not going to get good competition. Like Trey Morris, for example, at Washington Union, he's a great pitcher. He's going to have several D1 baseball offers come his way, but he's not going to leave Union. And that doesn't matter because Union probably will face some really good teams coming up here because of Trey Morris. I just imagine that. It's kind of like when I'm trying to think of this. There's an athlete who stayed in town and didn't go to a prep school until his senior year. Oh, yeah, Jalen Green. Jalen Green stayed in town. He could have easily left after his sophomore year when it was obvious he was the number one prospect in his class. But he stayed his junior year, probably didn't need to because he was better than everyone else on the court. But he did, made memories here. Then eventually you knew it was time for him to go somewhere else. Prolific Prep was the perfect choice because he was an NBA prospect. But it's like that. Like Jalen Green, Trey Morris can easily stay in the Valley for a couple more years. That's kind of a big comparison, though. I got to pump the brakes on that. Trey Morris, though, is a really good pitcher. You'll be hearing a lot of his name, but you'll be hearing his name from Washington Union.
Well, it certainly makes for a great debate. Great to talk about the different aspects of small schools, large schools. Is the goal a D1 scholarship? Is the goal the pros? Is the goal to win a Central Section championship with your hometown? So yeah, a lot of different fun stuff to talk about. Thanks, Gabe. I appreciate it. Yeah, again, your show. Just make another little plug. I'm cool with that. This is my show, but I'm happy. I'm happy to give you another plug.
Home Field Advantage 3 to 5 Monday through Thursday. Brad Fonts on Monday, and confirmed it yesterday morning. Cedric Pulliam, co-head coach for Central Track, along with Coach Davis, and Jeremiah Walker coming in studio Tuesday afternoon at 3:20. You want to hear Jeremiah Walker's story because it really is remarkable.
Yeah, it is remarkable, and we didn't have time to get into that. But, yeah, I'm sure you'll talk about it, but they needed those points. You know what? I'll give you how about a 30-second version, Gabe? Why don't you set up what Central needed to win the team title and what happened?
He had one leg, Paul. He had a maybe torn hamstring. We're not sure. I'll ask him what the MRI said. But he was on one leg. He could barely walk, but he took the baton. His team needed exactly 8 points to win a state championship. That means second place in the 4x4. He ran the anchor leg in third place. He, in the final 200 meters, found his second win. And the coach said, as long as you're within 15 to 20 meters, Jeremiah, you will catch them. And he did. There's a video of it on Twitter. The rest is history. Central won their first ever boys track state championship.
Good stuff, Gabe. Good stuff. Content is king here on 1430 ESPN. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Takaya Asensi about her gold medal run, man, her 400 win, her second place in the 200, her anchoring the 4x400 relay, and Coach Rich Brazil from Clovis North coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN.
Central Valley. Obviously, talking with Gabe, man, I love my chats with Gabe, and he does a really good job of hitting the pavement, and he has a bird's eye view of everything out there. So fun talking with Gabe. And now we have Clovis North Senior, Takaya Sensi, Central Section Masters Champ. I'm gonna make sure I get this right. Central Section, I mean, again, I could have listed about 1,000 different things that have taken up about 20 minutes. Central Section Masters Champs, 200, 400, and the 4x1 relay. State second in 200, the champ in 400, national number five.
Yeah.
Still national number five time in the 400, and state gold in the 4x4 relay. Helped lead Clovis North Broncos to a second place finish and headed to USC. You are 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. We also have track and field coach at Clovis North, Rich Brazil. Rich has been great over the years communicating with me, and he's always fun to talk to. So, guys, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us today, Paul.
Yeah, you bet. And, you know, we mentioned how off the air, how finally by your senior year, they say your name right over the loudspeaker. What are some of the weird ways that you heard your name pronounced over the loudspeaker for everyone to hear?
I've heard Takia. I've heard Chenchi sometimes is my last name. I've heard kind of everything. Finally, after 4 years, I know they finally got it. So
they finally got it right when it finally counted.
Yeah.
Did you have this weekend off? Your life has probably been crazy, especially this year. Do you have this off, or what? Right, nothing to do this weekend except come on the radio show.
No, I have nationals that I'm training for. For I think next weekend I leave. So no, I got the Sunday and Monday off, and then yeah, I've been right back at it again. But yeah, I leave for nationals I think next weekend, yeah, to go to Washington and then Philadelphia. So I still have been training. Once that's over though, I'll be finally done.
So what does your schedule look like? Okay, so nationals, right? And you are committed to USC.
Yeah.
You're going to USC. What does that time frame look like for summer and then eventually getting into college?
Probably June and July I will actually take off and rest, and then once August picks back up, I'm sure that they will start sending workouts and stuff. But even if they don't, I'll probably start working again, lifting and running again, just to get back in shape. So when I leave in August, I'll be ready to start right back up.
Oh gosh, I'm sure this has been an absolute whirlwind. I want to ask you about your recruiting process and what that looked like. I heard an interview where you said, well, because of COVID and different, some of these events that didn't happen this year or the last couple of years, you came on the scene a little bit late and they wanted to see your times drop, and you got to what, 43? What was your PR in, or 53? What was your PR in the 400?
53.19 this year. At the end of my junior year, it was 54.3.
Okay, so you improved a lot.
Yeah.
But what did that recruiting process look like, and when did programs start talking to you?
Yeah, I feel like with running, it's harder because each year you kind of need the progression to get better and stuff. So because of COVID, I feel like it just took a hit, especially to runners, and the fact that you couldn't really improve and use that season to improve. And so I felt like my junior year was kind of like starting my sophomore year. So it was like I was really having to improve all the way from my freshman year to my junior year. So my times, of course, weren't exactly where they were at for recruiters. It was kind of like I was in this middle spot where I was too fast for some schools, but then not at the right spot for other schools. So in the recruiting process, it was kind of difficult in that area because it'd be like, okay, well, if you were just here, that we could offer you this, or if you were just at this area. But once my senior year started and I started off stronger, it opened up a lot more doors and a lot more opportunities. And I definitely took all of those into consideration because, yeah, it was a crazy time at the beginning of the year, just with everything that had been going on and just the way I had been running. It had been everything that we had hoped for, and so I was just really happy with how it all turned out.
And Rich, from your perspective, how did you all see this unfold? Did she mentioned how she got her time from the 54s to the low 53s, but did COVID really put a number on this? What, from your perspective, how did the recruiting process and her improving, did COVID really affect it? Did it affect a lot of athletes that way?
Yeah, I believe so. Just the uncertainty, we really fought really hard, the kids and everybody in the programs, to have a season for their junior year, and it was really prolonged. So the training plan kind of varied quite a bit because we didn't know what we were going to be able to do, each day, each week. Sometimes it was changing by the hour. So we were just trying to get the kids onto the track as much as possible, just so they had the opportunity to showcase their hard work. Because a lot of these kids, Takaya, for example, she got shut down her sophomore year.
Yeah.
you know, after a couple meets, we had like two or three opportunities to run. We were getting ready to head down to Southern California, kind of where we really opened up our season at the first part of March. And it just, we got shut down, and then trying to remain hopeful, like, okay, you know, what was it, 15 days to flatten the curve, you know, right? So just trying to remain positive on that aspect, trying to keep them motivated. And it just kind of just kept dragging out. And, you know, that it was really hard on a lot of kids, but I think like Takaya and their group, they just stayed the course, and, you know, we're still hoping for we're going to get some type of opportunity to run. Well, that didn't happen. And then they kind of started like, okay, well, you know, we got to get on the track somewhere. So some stuff opened up out of California. So some of our kids traveled with and just took every opportunity that they could. The parents were really supportive in that, you know, with especially the kids that wanted to continue to run in college. And so after the junior year, I mean, I think we're still competing last year at this time, you know, with our the Valley meet was,
yeah.
We were only one of the only true sections that had a kind of a full track season. Some of the sections shut down completely or was really limited. Arcadia ran an unofficial state meet that,
I remember that.
I can't remember the date. Was that like June 22nd?
That was super late.
Yeah. Like the end of June.
Yeah. Towards the end of June, you know, and it was tiring for everybody, you know, but just, it was good to end on that high note. Takaya won that, you know, and the last second, the girls kind of got a chance to go up to Oregon and run the 4x4, and they finished third in the country there. And even then, you know, going up to Oregon, it was, you had a COVID test, do all this stuff, you know, the social distancing and all that stuff was still going on. And it kind of really carried over into this year, to December. We kind of go down to San Diego State for an all-comers meet, and San Diego State hosted this, their black and red all-comers meet, and they weren't allowed to host their meet on their actual campus. They still ran the meet, but it was at an alternative high school. I can't even remember the high school. So it was like, you know, it was still kind of lingering, and then finally we were like opened up, and you know, we had a true season, and it was just great to finally see, okay, everybody can have a plan and keep progressing. And we went down to that meet that got canceled in March. We went back down to Redondo, and it's just a great fun meet for us, and we have a lot of great competition down there, but the weather, what the ideal conditions weren't there.
Yeah,
super windy. Takaya still ended up winning that. It was a great race. Another very competitive young lady down there in the 400 beat her, but just the time wasn't there just because the conditions weren't right. It wasn't that she wasn't able to run fast yet. So then a couple weeks go by, and we finally get to host our Central Valley Classic that we host since 2019. And Takaya came out, and I wanted Takaya to run on our track, you know, really one more last time, a fast time. And she broke her stadium record, broke her school record. And that's when she, you know, she hit that 53 mark, and the phone started blowing up off the hook. Like we thought they would, you know, like,
yeah.
I got back to school on Monday and talked with Alabama for about a half hour. And, you know, I think all those other schools that were kind of dragging their feet were like, oh,
yeah,
we better get moving. And some didn't. And that's, you know, that's the nature of the game. Cause with COVID, there's still teams are really impacted with kids with eligibility and
yeah.
trying to figure out what they're trying to do and stuff, and trying to recruit the up and coming talent. So I think we're still going to see another year or two of this, you know, still playing out. But I'm just we're super happy for Takaya. You know, Coach Norman, her sprint coach, he's done a tremendous job with her, and then the rest of the kids and the relay teams. And, you know, fortunately he couldn't make it today, but, you know, my hat's off to him. He puts his heart and soul into our team and to these kids. And without him, I don't know how far we'd be right now with some of our sprinters, you know, for sure.
Takaya, your race in the 400 was something. I mean, you dominated that race, right? There was no doubt that you were the top girl out there. But I want to get into this a little bit as far as the mentality of being hunted, right? Like, hey, you're the number one, right? That's how it is in track and field. You're always chasing that. When you finally won the 400 after not being able to compete at the state level, you know, you talk about the unofficial state championship last year, but when you were unable to do that on the biggest stage at Buchanan, when you finally won that race, was it more of jubilation or is it more of relief? Was it more like, I did it?
Yeah, I think it was more like I did it. I feel like it was something I had set my mind to from my freshman year that I was going to win it, and I wanted to. And of course, like with all the setbacks and everything, I mean, I was just waiting for a normal season where I could actually say that I was the best runner in California in the 400. But I feel like after, it's just kind of like, yeah, like you finally have proved it, not only to yourself, but to everyone else, that like you were able to do it. And I think that was the biggest thing, was that I finally was like, okay, I've done it, and I knew I could do it. I mean, of course, yeah, with everything that had been going on this season, I just knew that if I had just ran my race right and I knew what I could do and what I was able to do, that I would be able to win it. And so I was just really happy with how everything had turned out. And I was just happy with just being able to say that I was the best one in the 400.
Absolutely. And there's no doubt. That's one of the great things about races, is that there's no dispute. Right. For yeah. Like, if you play somebody in baseball or even in football and basketball, I think, again, it's team sport. Right. You're like, hey, well, they happen to be the best team on that day. Right. That's kind of the thing with that. But with track and field, when you prove it on the biggest stage, there's no doubt. Right. You can't argue that. I want to get into the mentality a little bit of a runner, where it's just you. Are you racing more against other girls, or are you racing against yourself and your best time?
I feel like in the past, I was very much a runner that I would base myself off of other people. And that was something that I had to work on a lot over the years, was I was always so worried about what everyone else was running and how I would do against them. And even if they weren't on my level, I would still like trip out about, oh, they ran this time before. But I think over the years I've changed, especially this last year, I just was more so knew what I could do, and I knew what I was going to run. So it was more so me against the clock this year, especially, was I'm just going to go out there and run the best time, no matter who's there, no matter who can beat me, no matter who's anywhere on the field. I know what I can run. And I was like, it's just me against the clock, me trying to drop my time as much as I can, and me just going out there and putting on the best race. But I think that was something that I had struggled with a lot, was not comparing myself to other people and what they could do and what they could run, and that would affect my race. And so this year I went in with the mentality, especially during the state meet, I was telling myself before every race, I'm like, no comparison. You're just going to go out there and do what you know you can do. And I was like, no matter who can run this, no matter who can do what, it's you against the clock. It's you against what you know you can do. And so that was something that I had really worked on this season a lot.
Sounds like a very mature answer from a high school senior talking with Takaya Sensi from Clovis North, headed to USC. How about training? Right. Can you walk us through, let's say, the toughest workout that you've had this season? What's that look like? What do you hate track in those moments? You're like, what am I doing? I'm punishing my body. What does that look like?
There's definitely some harder workouts that we have done. I've done a lot of 600s, especially like when at the earlier season on, when like you're trying to build your endurance more. So we would just do like 5 600s, and they like, you'd get like 5 minutes rest and get right back up and do it again. Those are a real kicker, because like, of course, I do the 400 and I'm like, a 600 is like a little bit longer than that. So those ones definitely get me. Or we'll do some workouts where we'll run a 400, you'll get a break, and then you'll jog a 400, and then you'll run another one. And those ones are really hard too, especially because Josh is very particular on time. And if you don't hit the time, you might have to do more. And so it's a real kicker on those days. Yeah, you just are like lying on the floor like dead.
wishing that it would end at that moment. How about like at the college level, you know, are workouts going to be tougher? What are you prepared mentally for that? Or what have the coaches told you about what events you're going to do?
Yeah, I think things will obviously be harder, because I mean, it's at a different level, especially at USC. I feel like the way that they train and stuff, they're definitely building you for the next level and to be the best of the best at what you're doing out there. But I feel like the workouts might not necessarily be longer, but faster. I mean, you're running against people that are in their junior, senior year of college. I mean, they're in like their 20s, yeah. And I'm 17 when I'm entering, so I'm going to be 18, but I'll be a lot younger and stuff. So I feel like those people will be at a different level. They've already been in college. They know how it works. So I think they'll be harder in that level. I mean, they know that they're lifting weights. They know what times they're supposed to be hitting. So that adjustment, I think, will be difficult, but I think it's something that Josh has definitely prepared us for. I feel like the way that we run our high school is going to be so similar to the way we're doing things in college, just at another level. So I feel like I'm prepared enough for what's going to be at USC, and I feel like it'll just be a new transition with new coaches and faster people.
At what point in your career Rich, I want to ask you later about Takiyah and her improvement over the years, but when did you settle on 200 and 400? Did you ever try the 100? Did you try the longer distances, or did you ever try to do long jump or anything like that? What did that look like?
So in elementary school, I did a range of events. One year I did the mile and the 100. I did the 800 and the 200. Kind of did a little bit of everything, but once I got to middle school, I don't know how I narrowed it down to the 4 and the 2, but that's when I had narrowed it down, because when I started my sixth grade year, I'd done the 800 and the 200, and then middle school, I just started doing the 400 and the 200, and it stuck with me ever since. I did do a little bit of long jump in middle school, too, when I had a little extra room, so I didn't have to do the 4x4, because there was only the 4x1 that you could do, so I had to do the long jump at a time. I've kind of done almost every single event besides some of the field events, but done a range.
Yeah, I think you made the right choice, and yeah. Going with the 200, 400, Coach Brazil, Rich, you know, obviously you have a state champion that you've been able to watch over the last 4 years in high school, and I'm sure at Granite Ridge as well. Did you go to Granite Ridge?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Good. But, you know, talk about just her progression as an athlete and what she's meant to the program and, you know, off the track and field as well as far as a quality individual.
Yeah, you know, we're really truly blessed and close, you know, because the kids get to start doing track in fourth grade. So we've been watching Takiyah and a lot of our athletes, you know, since fourth grade, and they would get to come out to our track and run a couple meets. And then obviously she was a multi-sport athlete, you know, coming into junior high, still doing basketball, running cross country a little bit. And, you know, just she really did take off in junior high. And it was awesome watching her, and just to know that, hey, she's going to be coming up into our high school program in another year or two. And just watching her progress over the last 4 years has been awesome. Her senior leadership, you know, we have a lot of younger runners this year, and she really has shown them what it takes to be the best that you can. And she's leaving the program in a great spot, I think, with our younger athletes. They kind of know, they've been through these workouts this last year, and with Maya Cordova the year before, you know, so we're really young. We got, you know, three freshmen and a sophomore, you know, that have really contributed this year in the sprints, and a couple other girls that are just, you know, that I think they're seeing what it takes, and they're buying into it. And it's been awesome. You know, I think this year, you know, Takiyah, like you talked, you know, like how she started focusing on the controllables, what she can control. Yep. And that's the maturity and what we've seen, the growth and process in her. You know, obviously she's a gifted athlete, you know, and it takes, you know, sometimes, you know, the talent only takes you so far. And I think she's really put the time and effort into fine crafting her, you know, all the little details, what it takes to be that elite runner, to be on the podium, at the top of the podium at the state meet. And it has been a lot of sacrifices for her and the other kids on the team, and tremendous leadership. She's, like I told you earlier in the text, like involved in our school leadership. She's involved in our district leadership councils, and just has really left a tremendous mark as a student athlete at Clovis North. And she is going to be missed, but I know she's doing well. Get to watch her. It's awesome that she's going to be at SC and we can see her, you know, be close to home. And we've been really fortunate over the years that our kids do come back and they'll work out in the off season a little bit. And I'm expecting that to be the same with her when she comes home. And just to watch her to continue her growth. We're super excited for her to go to USC. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal school. You know, you guys didn't see it, but one of our local dentists, he's my dentist, Dr. Contente, was just in here. And he's a diehard USC guy. He went to USC. He's throwing the fight on to Takiyah, you know, so just that right there, you know, she's going to be walking into a great situation down there with getting a great education and an awesome, awesome athletic experience down in Southern California.
And speaking of USC, I got to mention Michaela Smith, who is a phenomenal athlete at Clovis North, three-time state champion in 800, or just the two, right? Sophomore, junior year?
Yeah, sophomore, junior year. There was, you know, we had a little, you know, she was coming in this her senior year with, you know, a great opportunity to win it again, but there's a couple things just didn't go that well. And, she, you know, Michaela and a few of the other young, you know, a few of our early on athletes really, really laid the groundwork for our program and the foundation. And, you know, they get to look at the record board up on the wall, and now, you know, Takiyah's up there for four events now, you know, with the 400, 200, the 4x1 and the 4x4 is our school record holder. She did run the 100 this year too, you know, because you can't run the same event all the time. So, you know, she ran quite a few 400s early on, and then we kind of backed her down just to the 1 and 2 and running the relays. But tremendous job. You know, she, like a few other athletes on the team, but, you know, this towards the end of the season, Takaya was competing in four events, you know, in the championship run, you know, at our league meet, the Division I championship, and then the Masters championship. And she went right into the state meet, ran four events, and would have ran four events on Saturday in the finals too. We were just, you know, just a little bit out of qualifying in our 4x1. You know, we finished 10th going in. So, you know, she is just a tremendous workhorse. You know, she's put in the work to be able to handle that. And I couldn't thank her enough for all that she's done for the school and for the team.
And Takaya, we only got about a minute here, but I want you to be able to talk about your relay that won gold. You know, you talk about the individualistic sport that track and field can be with, but you're able to celebrate with three other teammates. Why don't you give an opportunity to give a shout out to your teammates on that gold winning race and what that meant to you?
Yeah, I think especially to Tatum. She's been with me since elementary school, so I think it was cool for us to finish out that way. Maya has been with us for 2 years, and that was super cool to have her do it again. And then Emerson, the newcomer, but I feel like it was just such a great way to go out, and I was just so happy with how everything had happened. It was funny because I ended my middle school year 4x4, I think is what we had like that, where I had to catch someone to finish the race, and so it was just ironic that I had finished out my high school way exactly the same. And yeah, I'm just so blessed with everything that had happened this year and with the teammates that I had. And yeah, I'm definitely going to miss Tatum next year. She's been my ride or die since sixth grade in the track world. We've kind of been each other's running buddies, so I'm definitely going to miss her a lot next year.
And, you know, I talked to Adrian Martinez before this, who played quarterback at University of Nebraska. And I always like to wrap up, you know, talking about the high school and just how meaningful it is, because, you know, Rich and, you know, has been around track and field and high school sports for a long time. So just this time of high school is just so meaningful to kids. And, you know, you never forget your high school guys, man. I got my high school basketball buddies that we still text each other, and we're still buds. And these memories that you created this year were very, very special. And so thank you again for coming in. Congrats on your wonderful career, and good luck in the future. Takaya Sensi from Clovis North, congrats again, and good luck
thank
in the
you.
Future.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Rich, thanks to you, my man.
Appreciate you. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us today. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, coming up after the break, just going to wrap everything up. 2 hours of high school goodness here on 1430 ESPN.
Every day she takes a morning bath, she wets her hair, wraps a towel around her as she's heading for the bedroom chair. It's just another
day. Central Valley Sports Report had a wonderful show. 2 hours filled of high school goodness, good high school content. I want to thank First String Sports for being a great sponsor. They do an amazing job here. Come on down, Blackstone Sierra Avenue. I want to thank Marty Bitter, Madera Unified Athletic Director. He is the president-elect of the CIF State. He had 2 years of president-elect, and then he's going to be sworn in as the president of CIF in August for 2 years. So thanks for Marty for coming on, talking about the Central Section of Madera Unified Sports. Thanks to Adrian Martinez, record-setting quarterback at University of Nebraska, now at Kansas State for his final season, has NFL aspirations. Just a great kid. I just can't say enough good things about Adrian. He was kind enough to come on the show and talk to us for a little over 20 minutes. So thanks to Adrian Martinez. Thanks to Gabe Camarillo back at home base. Great job producing the show. Catch his new show this Monday, already in a couple days, from 3 to 5 on 1430 ESPN. Thanks to Takaya Sensei, who was just on from Clovis North, state champion in the 400, headed to USC, and Coach Rich Brazil of Clovis North as well. Good luck to Carruthers Softball playing Napomo today. Well, good luck to Napomo as well. They are also in our central section playing for the D5 SoCal Regional Championship. Good luck to Clovis High, who's playing St. Francis today on the road. Good luck to Central Softball as well. Programming note, next week will be my final show before we break for the summer, coming back in August. So this has been a wonderful time since August, talking about Central Section sports and high school sports in general. I count it as a privilege to do so. Remember, be kind, be generous, be passionate in everything you do, and leave it all in the field. I'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to the home of the San Francisco Giants, KFIG Fresno, 1430 ESPN.